When I think of our next guest, I normally think of astute decision making, right, Dave? Without saying who the guest is, grounded and reasonable thought.
Principled is the word I hear often from the guests.
Common sense decision making.
Absolutely.
Dean Phillips is here. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Attending Burning Man this year, was this the dumbest decision of your years on the planet?
It would probably rank in the top five.
Top five? Would you like to rank them for us right now? Because that would be tremendous.
Look, you know, we got. Here's the truth, though. Just as we are also passionate about the Minnesota State Fair, and I know that all of us, when we talk with friends from out of state or out of the country, we say you've got to come one time to the Minnesota State Fair. Well, I've had some friends say the same about Burning Man, and I can tell everybody listening, I can tell everybody this: Burning Man and the State Fair are very similar. other than the fact that you have to wait in line for 8 hours once you get to the gate at Burning Man. There is no food. There are no sticks because it's the middle of the desert, so you can't put food on the stick. The music, I would say, is very consistently electronic dance music. There is a lot of sand, mud, and dust. It's very hot. And other than that, it's just wonderful.
Yeah. What was your name? And why did she convince you to go to Burning Man, Dave? That's the only explanation. There's some amazing.
Why would you assume? is this a self help show?
Yes,
or, I don't assume that a woman drew me to Burning Man. This was a very personal one. I'm not going back, Jed.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about less important things.
Yes, Dave. Did you also notice there was not a denial?
No,
there was
not a denial.
I think I'm very.
I had 6 years of training for that.
Yes, exactly. Okay, for the people who don't know what Burning Man is, conceptually, what is the appeal?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, this is actually really interesting. I started this year up until January 3rd as a member of the U.S. Congress, where we set the rules for the country as intensely legislative and regulated as you can imagine. And Burning Man is the very opposite. You know, 80,000 people convene in the desert where there's no cell reception, money cannot be exchanged, and a city forms for 1 week with very few rules. And to compare and contrast how I started this year and seeing this experiment in governance or lack of in the desert was actually quite remarkable. And I can tell you that despite what everybody read, and of course the conditions were nasty, apparently there was one death and maybe a murder.
Yes.
Yeah. But, and this is an interesting one, you know, the fact that 80,000 people from disparate parts of the world and backgrounds with very little regulation can come together and just because of basic shared human values, operate in any fashion is remarkable. So I have to tell you, there was a little bit of an interesting perspective on what humans can do, you know, when they're united by values. And I think that was probably my big takeaway, that all is not lost for everybody listening who's disgusted with politics, because, you know, we do share some basics. And I think recognizing that can take down the temperature a little bit. And Burning Man is kind of an unusual example.
How long did you stay?
Self-regulation. Well,
don't you want the answer to be an hour?
Yes.
I want the answer to be
5 days in.
5 days. Okay.
I'll tell you, because I'm the guy that misses, you know, I'm the guy that sometimes misses like the ninth inning walk-off home run or the overtime touchdown. And I missed the burning of the man because I did not want to wait in 8 hours of traffic. Now, you know, my Achilles heel, never make me wait in the line. Yep.
Okay. Without getting too personal, was it just you and one person? Were you with a group of people?
Yeah, you know, it's very primal. You can go on your own and camp in public camping sites, or you can join what they call camps, like small tribes.
Yeah,
which I did. So I knew a couple people. I rented an RV. And I got to tell you, it was an experience in self-sufficiency. You cannot.
It wasn't the same
anything.
RV that you campaigned in, was it? Was it like Dean for Congress?
By the way, that only would have been a modest downgrade from what I actually had. No, I rented a. You know, there are companies that you know, kind of outfit you, if you will, for this kind of endeavor. And by the way, the sand there is a corrosive, very corrosive type of sand that literally decays everything. So, you know, most people throw away what they brought. I mean, you don't get me started. It made me really appreciate Minnesota,
water.
The State Fair.
I mean, just running water made
and
you
water.
Appreciate.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will trade snow for sand in this case any day.
Hold on a second, Dave. This is Dean Phillips, who formerly we viewed as someone we'd go to for sage advice and reason thinking. That has all ended after this conversation. Dave, does this count, Dave, in your opinion, as a Burning Man? Now, I've now just declared you a Burning Man expert. If Dean is staying in an RV while other people are just sleeping on the corrosive sand, is that disqualified, Dean?
Hold on. I am still a Democrat.
Keep it quiet here. The judge Harrigan is going to declare here. Does this count?
As a child, I used to do a lot of camping with my family in a tent. Actually, in a tent, and we would scoff at those that would pull up, the pop up camper or the actual, you know, drive up the camper RV kind of thing. That's not really camping.
I don't know if this is Burning Man.
It's about 10% of the experience.
This is 10% Burning Man. I think we've declared.
Well, hey guys, you know, I guess, I mean, I'm sure some listening right now would say, well, what a typical Democrat. He rents a nice RV and everyone else is sleeping in tents.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But Dave, if you want to come in a tent next time and poke fun at those in RVs, I won't be there, but I'm sure there'll be 75,000 others that would.
I wouldn't go in an RV.
By the way, and I should also say, Chad, I got to say, I think part of being a good public servant is, spending time in communities that are a little different than one's own. And this definitely
you're not
qualifies.
A public servant anymore, though. That's the difference.
That's right. I'm a private servant.
Exactly. And I may have spotted maybe where you spend some time recently, and I think that's a little better than the Burning Man RV. I'm just going to...
Okay, well, thank you for your sage counsel and wisdom. I'm blessed by it, and I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think my next chapter will be running for mayor of Black Rock City, which is Burning Man's.
That would be
good.
They
could use one.
Right.
And by the way, anyone who thinks we have bad potholes in the Twin Cities, you might actually enjoy our city streets compared to what the mud streets of Black Rock City look like. So I came away from this very grateful for being a Minnesotan.
Let's put quasi Burning Man Phillips on hold, and let's come back. We'll talk some politics with Dean. He's with us next segment also. Jamie Yuccas at the bottom of the hour. Pella, a part of the conversation. Pella is always a part of the conversation on this show. We're so lucky to be a part of Pella. Let me just get to the new offer in September right from the get-go, and then let me just brag up this great company. How about this? You got two options. You got 0% APR for 48 months. How about 4 years? Or, and you get this one combined, okay? $250 off per qualifying window and $500 off per qualifying door. So one or the other, pick one of those two for your offer in September. Why, Pella? How about 100 years in business in a very competitive industry? Windows and doors, just look up right now. Go to the Google while you're listening and look at the number of window places, door places, window and door places. There are hundreds and hundreds. Pella's so good, they've lasted for 100 years. You want to see a showroom? Certainly. Brooklyn Park, Woodbury, Plymouth. You want to get them to come into your home, your cabin, your condo? You can do that. PellaNorthland.com. They'll work with your budget. They'll work with your style ideas. They'll provide style ideas. They'll check all your windows, maybe replace a couple, or give you the idea of a renovation. I'm at a new place, and I made sure Pella windows and doors were a part of the place, and everything is worked out beautifully. Believe in them every time I go to my house, PellaNorthland.com. I did leave one last question on Burning Man for the former congressman. How many times did you enter the Orgy Dome, which was a part of Burning Man?
It was a Bill Clinton that said he didn't inhale.
Yes.
I will confess that it was very intriguing, but As I'm sure most listeners know, because it was on the top of the international headlines, that dome was blown away in the
yes.
first windstorm. So much to the chagrin of some of the other attendees, not
yeah.
this one specifically. But
yeah.
thank you, Chad.
I'm a journalist.
The serious question.
I'm a journalist. I need to ask.
Important journalism.
I need to ask these questions. Okay. Congress is
okay.
back.
Hey, I do have to say one more thing.
Sure.
Chad, I do want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
The other great blessing, other than the fascinating cultural phenomena, was that I was essentially phoneless and electronicless for a week.
Yeah.
And
how was that?
It was liberating, satisfying, and boy, having raised children in this era, all of us, you know, obviously sometimes overly addicted to our electronics, it was very meaningful, and I encourage people to take some time away occasionally from your devices. It's really healthy. So there you go. That was my key takeaway.
Okay, so as an example, let's say October, would you mm-hmm. want to try again to live without your phone for a week?
First of all, the most important things to do are the ones you don't really want to. So the answer is yes, I think so. I really mean it.
Yeah. So you could yeah. see you doing this intermittently.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone knows people who are like, they do, you know, weight loss programs or cleanses.
Yep.
I think it's time to extend that to, you know, electronic cleansing, because seriously, it is,
yeah.
you know, it is social media is influencing and I think corrupting youth. I think it's affecting all of us, including people,
kids.
Adults of age.
Yep.
Forgive mm-hmm. me, there's another phone ringing.
Yeah.
I think it's a serious health problem. I would encourage Bobby Kennedy to consider adding that to his list of national health priorities, very sincerely.
Okay. Judge Harrigan, I now have to ask this question, too. Did he just cut off one phone and he has the other phone here? Because, I mean, are you cutting off both phones when you're cutting? Are you just cutting off one of your three phones?
He missed his electronics so much, he went out and bought two more phones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, that was just a prop, so you guys didn't think that I'm actually
so
in demand.
Yeah. He just bought a landline just for the conversation.
Yeah, about a landline. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I don't really know how to use those anymore.
Yeah, to dial up. All right, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, the last time I saw him in Congress, he was saying, let's get out of here before we have to vote on the Epstein files. That yeah. is a part of it again, but they have many issues to get to, including this perpetual, will we keep the government running, extending the debt limit, things like that. What is realistic for Congress to get done as you observe this from afar?
Well, based on recent history, much of which I experienced as a member of Congress, I have to say, Chad, I think it's more likely than not that we are going to be facing a shutdown. Democrats surely are not in the mood to compromise. A number of the swing vote Republicans on the far right are also disinclined to compromise. And of course, we have a president who is not terribly fond of compromise, and you add that all together, a Speaker of the House who will do whatever the president wants, I think we're looking at another shutdown. And I'm not certain that President Trump will be terribly disappointed in that, because he clearly is doing his best to disrupt traditional Washington politics, and this might actually play into his strategy, which is disconcerting, should be disconcerting for all of us.
Wasn't there a lot of talk last time where Schumer ended up taking a lot of heat from Democrats in going maybe further towards Trump than some Democrats wanted, but because he worried about the power Trump might have to expand executive powers if there was a government shutdown?
Well, I think that's a legitimate concern. We've seen this president exercising those muscles, if you will. By the way, I think that in the future, after President Trump and democracies around the world, we're going to see a further concentration of power in the executive branches of democracies in the absence of legislative bodies being able to do their jobs. And I hope that Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader, and Mike Johnson, of course, the Speaker of the House, you know, recognize the implications of these fisticuffs. And I do believe that Trump will meet with the leaders of both the House and Senate, Schumer and Jeffries. And I do hope they, if a compromise can emerge from that, Chad, I do actually think that's a darn good sign, because nobody is going to win from a shutdown. And with the fact that Trump will try to expand his authorities with a shutdown, rest assured, Democrats are talking about that right now in their meetings in Washington.
I have no idea what may or may not be going on with Donald Trump's health. A lot of people paying attention to a bruise on his hand. You know, at times he's dragging his right leg. He's 79, right? He's a 79-year-old who seems to have a great, great deal of energy. Part of your decision to speak up on Joe Biden years ago with was an age situation and about that. What I want to raise with you is something I raised last hour with some listeners. I am no fan of the president as a person or his policy positions, but I think it's fairly grotesque when politicians and other observers are openly hoping that the president of the United States is dead. And that was taking place frequently on social media the last 4 or 5 days. I could name 100 plus million people I would rather as the president of the United States. But guess what? He is. I think he might be the president for the next 6, 7 years. I don't want that either. But for anybody in positions of power, or whether you're a politician, reporter, who's making light of this, including some individuals who, when they were asked about Joe Biden, Dean, as we both know, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. He's fine. And now we're cracking jokes. I think that's fairly pathetic.
I do, too. I think it's grotesque. It's repulsive. It's the antithesis of patriotism. And you don't have to like the American president. You don't have to respect the American president. But it is in nobody's best interest to wish death upon our president. And I encourage those on the left listening to remind themselves that then J.D. Vance would become president. And I'm not sure that would address any of Democrats' most disconcerting issues right now, not to mention his woeful lack of experience. So with all that, I'm disappointed in the far left, disappointed in the far right, not a fan of President Trump's vulgar demeanor, but I'm disgusted by anybody who would wish death upon a politician, not to mention Minnesotans right now after still reeling from the horrifying death of Melissa Hortman and that attack. And we all have a role to play, Chad, and I'm increasingly dismayed by the partisanship, not necessarily just from Washington, amongst those online. And that's another reason to put the darn phones down and go out and break bread with some people of different perspectives, because, my goodness, we're an amazing country, and it's not up to Trump or a future president. It's up to all of us, and that's where my head is at right now.
Last thing, it was last week when another tragedy took place at a school. This case, it was kids who were praying at Mass, the first day of Mass at Annunciation Church and school. An 8-year-old child and a 10-year-old child are gone. And we have others who are fighting for their lives, and the debate continues again about our country, whether it's with schools or just broadly our country, with mass shootings, with mass killings, with the health debate, with the gun debate, and what we can do. As somebody who's from this state, as somebody who was a part of Congress, are we ever actually going to try to do things? Maybe we try them for short periods of time, and we find out, hey, something I didn't think would work actually worked, or I told you this wouldn't work and it did, or I told you this would work and it did. But instead of just shaking our heads, it's horrible, I hope this doesn't happen again, let's bleeping do something.
Well, Chad, I'll tell you, you know, if we could just change the political culture in America and stop rewarding lifetime politicians, impose some disincentive or term limits, I do think things could change dramatically. I saw firsthand when I was a member of Congress how closely I worked with my Republican friends on the Problem Solvers Caucus, and we were surprised by just the simple almost primal considerations, foundations to do things. You get to know each other, you build trust, you break bread, and slowly but surely you can do amazing things together. But when leaders are far more focused on preserving their power and their next election, they will always put their self-interest first. You and I are part of a generation that benefited from American investment,
yes,
post-World War II investment.
For sure.
And we have not been a nation that has been investing almost in our lifetime. I mean, if you look at the erosion of our infrastructure, of our airports, we have no high-speed rail. We have increasing generations growing up with a lack of health care and housing and modeling of good behavior and crime. You know, we are in a real predicament right now. I am optimistic, but if anybody looks at the Star Tribune today, you'll see the headline is about big city mayors wanting to toughen gun laws after the horrific Annunciation murders. There's an article about a speeding driver in downtown Minneapolis runs a red light, yep, and is killed, mm-hmm, at 3:15 in the morning. You know, there's an article about Melissa Hortman's replacement. I mean, it's
breaking more windows in South Minneapolis,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so and the answer, if you ask me now, based on my experience, Chad, especially when it comes to gun violence, you know, in some ways, both sides are correct. I don't think we should have weapons of mass destruction, of war, in the hands of teens and 20-year-olds who are not even fully developed. You know, we can't carry hand grenades. Why should AR-15s be available to an 18-year-old who simply passes a simple background check? I think it's ridiculous. On the other hand, we have a significant emotional and mental health crisis in America. We have people, we have resources, we have the know-how. And anyone who argues that is not the core of this crisis is just kidding themselves. And the notion of strengthening gun laws, my goodness, this young guy or person passed every background check.
Yes.
That's not going to change anything, you know. And until we have enforcement and consequences for criminals more, until we have a robust emotional mental health system for young people in this country and we embed that in schools, I don't see how we're going to solve these problems. But there is more agreement on these things than we would imagine. We just have the darn disincentive of politicians looking after their next elections instead of looking after all of us. And I continue to give thought to how we can change that dynamic. And I remain optimistic, but our beautiful state is now being subject to things that we thought maybe we were somewhat immune to. And unfortunately, the answer is we're not. And we better start investing and coming up with ideas and working together and using best practices. Countries around the world are doing a lot of things better than we are, and we can learn from them. And that's my encouragement to those in Washington right now debating whether to shut down our government.
As always, great stuff. Thank you so much. Be well. We'll talk soon.
All right, Chad. Be well. Bye-bye.
Dean Phillips, 33 past 2. Jamie Yukas next. Jamie is here, like all the guests on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Schools, different states start different times. We have schools. In fact, we had Stillwater, Jamie, start a couple weeks ago. I said too soon. Too soon. California, did your guy start school today, or is it a fairly different school date structure out there where your son goes to school?
I thought it was still state law that you guys couldn't start until the day after Labor Day. They changed that.
They changed it. There's much more leeway now.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I thought maybe it was just private schools and things like that. So that's news to me. Thank you for breaking that.
Yeah.
No. Actually, the school systems out here are all very, very different. So LAUSD, that's the second largest school district in the country. They started 3 weeks ago. Our guy started 2 weeks ago. You had people starting today. I'd say the majority of people, though, went back 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what's crazy about that for us, to be honest?
Sure.
Is, like, this is the hottest time of the year. So, like, I always say in California, the kids should actually not get out until the end of July because we have May gray, June bloom, and no sky July until about the last week of the month. And then they should be out the last week of July, August, and September, and go back in October.
It's still summer. I mean, it's a summer show here. We tout summer, It's summer until September 22nd. So the September lovers is, I love fall. No, you love summer because almost 80% of the month is summer. Thank you. Dave Harrigan, we're believers in big calendar.
That's right. You've never been more right.
Thank you. Man, we rarely am right.
Well, I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement.
Thank you.
I'm
thank you.
I'm pulling out the Halloween decorations. Like, go away.
Oh, no. Patriot.
Gross. Just gross. Come on. Businesses with Halloween decorations out right now, shut them down.
Homes, too.
Shut a homes?
Oh, I've got two homes in my neighborhood. They've put out
all the stuff.
Yep.
We do, too.
Yeah.
We do,
too. Take their candy and egg them. Go get them, kids.
Oh, my God. Dave Harrigan encouraging damage to the homes. Not me. That's Dave Harrigan. I would be disappointed. I mean, come on. Get out of here. Why not just keep all your decorations up all year, then? If, you know.
Well, I think some people do, don't they? Like Christmas lights and stuff. I've seen people keep those up all year.
I think Cook has campaigned to keep, like, his Christmas tree up all year round. And, again, I'm a big Christmas tree guy. You know, I know it's really brave to be a big Christmas tree guy. A lot of people aren't willing to take that stand. I am. But no. You know, you want to have the Christmas tree up for 2-3 months? Sure. 4th of July, Jamie Yuccas, no Christmas tree. No.
Well, I also do. So I think the things, like, I think we're ruining it by doing it, because isn't what makes it special is that
yes.
the time is limited?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let's get into this comedian who, until this morning, I had never heard of. And it appears that many of his jokes I wouldn't care for. But I also get that comedy, at times, if you take it literal, is very uncomfortable. It is troubling.
Sure.
If you accept comedy of people who are edgy, who are provocateurs, who have been around forever, do we draw different lines with comedians versus journalists or everyday citizens or politicians? Yes. Now, maybe, and there are plenty of people out there who say, no, I don't. I hold them to the same standard. For a lot of us, it's different. So this is an individual, Graham Linehan. He's arrested by armed police officers at Heathrow. Heathrow, not exactly a small airport in the UK, right? He's an Irish comedy writer. He came up with a number of well-known sitcoms, and he has been a vocal critic of the trans right movement in recent years. Let me say, as someone who spoke up about this before, Graham and I would not agree on the literal part of this, because I think there's way too much trans hate in this country. But I also get comedians. I also get other individuals and what they're doing to try to get a reaction. And there's been a lot of back and forth between him and trans rights supporters, and whether they've gone too far with Graham or Graham has gone too far. And so now he's facing a trial this week on harassing an individual who's a transgender activist on social media, and also in some sort of conflict, damaging a mobile phone. Now, I don't know as much about the mobile phone. Okay, when it gets to that part, it's a different area. But if we're, I mean, this shows, you know, the differences with different countries and freedom of speech and how much latitude. And there's a lot of social media the two of us have talked about over the years where you're like, this is the worst. This is grotesque. This is awful. But they are private businesses, and they can decide how far they want to go. But literally arresting somebody with five police officers due to comments on social media at an airport is fairly troubling to me.
Well, I have questions, though, and I read the article your producer sent me. How bad was was there harassment besides the online harassment? Was there death threats towards the individual who made the claims? Like, were there, you know, are there other pieces to this story I'm missing?
Sorry about that. The mic was stuck. The only part I didn't see clarity is on the phone itself. But the comments are, to me, just bad jokes, right? Or jokes I don't find that funny.
Could they be construed as being threatening to this individual, depending on interpretation?
I guess. And obviously in the UK.
I have to be completely honest, like as a woman in the media industry, I've gotten letters and things sent to my house that are highly to my house, my home, that I would consider harassment. I've been online bullied, not to the point, but I've had to get, CBS security involved.
Well, I don't talk about this heck of a lot, but I've had death threats where the Minneapolis police has to get involved, right? So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I have someone who's sending me letters to my house right now, right now to my house, which to me is frightening. I can't even tell you the amount of death threats my father received over the years.
I'm
so
sure.
When it goes past that line, I get it. But if it's just social media and causes, even if I disagree wholeheartedly with the positions, it's this line. Because we just were talking to Dean Phillips before, and obviously you were touched a lot as someone who, this is still your home state, about enunciation and what happened. And then we start talking about, what else can we do to stop this and social media. And it shouldn't just be Katie bar the door and you can say anything. But how we draw those lines and how we stop things, it's tough to do that. Where it isn't just stopping the freedom of, where's the line when it's too far, when police and harassment
and
is.
I,
yep, go ahead.
You and I have had many, many conversations too, just about like where the line is and not wanting cancel culture to take over.
Correct.
Exactly. So I just think we as a society, and obviously, as you pointed out, this isn't in our country, but I think everyone's starting to maybe figure out their boundaries around certain things, and the pendulum's going to swing back and forth. I don't know.
Yeah. And there are individuals, because I'm sure you saw in the story, including J.K. Rowling, right, who have not agreed with some of the comments that this comedian has made, but also highlighted the case on X and said this: what the F has the UK become? This is totalitarianism, utterly deplorable. Other individuals saying this is now a laughingstock, a country where we arrest authors of light comedies and interrogate them about tweets, and others are saying, let me cite the number of cases where we don't have enough police attention, but we're arresting individuals. Because you're right, it's a little bit like, pornography. Like some people can say, well, I know it when I see it. Well, can we really say that with harassment and social media?
Right.
When it's attacking one, us individually, for sure. But if it's comedians and controversial topics, and that's who we're going to arrest, that's a pretty chilling effect.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out more circumstances as they get this into court.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Last thing, you working on anything for CBS coming up?
I literally, while you were talking to me, got a text from my senior producer for CBS Mornings, Brian, who says, hey, Jamie, you available to help us with a package on the Cardi B trial?
Oh, there we go.
I will be doing that tomorrow morning.
Okay. When you interview her, because I'm assuming you're an interviewer, just have her call the hotline. We'd love to talk to Cardi B. Dave, we could work Cardi B in the show.
Absolutely.
Anytime. We dump that to Russia segment, instantly.
I'd like to dump it right now, whether we have her or not.
That's fair. That's a very fair point. Glad to have you on, as always. Appreciate the loyalty. Enjoy the day, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds great. Miss you guys.
Jamie with us here on CCS.